Hi, welcome to Colonial Williamsburg, past and present. The stuff is new and you won't hear it anyplace else. What we want to do at first is get you behind the scenes and let you meet the people who work here. That's my job. I'm Lloyd Dobbins, and mostly I ask questions. This time, I'm asking Brenda Rosso, who is Supervisor of Research and Design in the Costume Design Center. You get all the actors dressed.
Essentially, yes. We call them interpreters here.
Oh, yeah.
we call them interpreters, yes. We costume about, I think we have well over 1,000 positions that we costume at this point in time. And that's every strata of society in the 18th century from head to toe and from the skin out.
Huh. Do you do any other period other than 18th century?
We do have, mainly our target date is around 1775. It's generally in the third quarter of the 18th century. But we do some special programming, like there's a special program that we do that before the Battle of Yorktown, that where we costume 1781, Washington and his troops. And then we also have special program, evening programs, where we do some earlier things. There's a program called Cry Witch, which takes place in 1706, and the clothing is significantly different. Then we have another program, another evening program that we costume called To Go A-Pirating, which is about a pirate trial that took place here in Williamsburg. And that is 1726. Recently, we've just started costuming another program called Primetime History Hour, which is about the Barbary Pirates. We call it the Barbary Pirate Play, since pirate plays seem to be very popular. And that takes place in 1803. So,
how did you learn all of this? I mean, obviously, you have to know what 1781 does.
Right. Actually, I majored in theatrical costume design in college, so I have and my background was primarily theatrical before I started working in museums. My first job in museums was about 15 years ago, where I worked for another site, a 17th century site, and then 9 years ago, I came to Colonial Williamsburg.
You must study all the time.
I'd like to, but unfortunately, I don't have that luxury. You know, we're very busy, and I really would like to study all the time. But when I do get to study, we get to look at objects, we get to look at antiques, documents. So it's pretty diverse and very interesting.
It just occurred to me, how many of there are you to do 1,000 people?
I'm the head of research and design, and I'm the primary designer. There are 30 people at the Costume Design Center. We have an operations section, which takes care of the day-to-day maintenance. We have two cutter fitters who do men and women, and they will do the initial fittings. We have an issuance department to take care of all those 45,000 pieces of clothing that are out there in circulation. And then we
talk about a big closet.
Right, yeah. And we have a daily laundry service, which is essentially, I can't think of the word, which is essentially contracted out, but we do all the daily maintenance. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty extensive operation.
So if one of the interpreters got caught on a door,
mm-hmm.
and ripped a coat pocket.
Mm-hmm.
He has to come back to you.
Right. Generally, what would happen is he would come in to the laundry counter. It would be dropped off to be cleaned. And then when it was checked the next day, after it came back from the laundry, we would repair it. So we have a pickup and drop-off service. We have a maintenance service. We provide them with shoes, eyeglasses, everything that you need for an 18th century appearance.
You're worse than a department store.
Yes, we are, actually, yeah.
Because an interpreter couldn't put his own wallet, for instance, in his pocket because that's not...
Well, he could. Things that are hidden from the public can use. And they have voluminous... Women especially have voluminous hoops that they can hide all manner of things in. With men, it's a little difficult because the pockets, I mean, people today unlike the 18th century, carry all manner of stuff around them with them, keys and, you know, identification and all money, all sorts of things. In the 18th century, that really, really wasn't necessary. You didn't have that much paper or things that you had to carry around with you. But so we do have to make accommodations for modern wallets and purses and pockets and things like that. And generally, you can sort of hide a lot of stuff within the clothing.
I think I would be scared that I'd pull it out at the wrong time and just carry nothing.
Yeah.
That seems to me would just be easier. Don't do it.
Right. Don't do it. You're probably right.
What do people ask you when you're talking about costuming?
Primarily, they want to know if it's hot, the visitor.
Okay.
Is it hot? Yes, it is hot. It is hot, and it's layered. But I think it's what you get used to. I think the problems we have dressing modern people are that today everyone is used to wearing relatively loose clothing that's loose-fitting. In the 18th century, it was very form-fitting, and that takes a little getting used to for most of our interpreters. The other thing is this idea that clothing today, fashion today, has been democratized and globalized. So you can choose to identify yourself in any way, shape, or form you wish if you have the money to do it. And it's much more common. You know, fashion sort of spreads up from the street now rather than trickling down from above. And I think that's one of the primary differences between dress now and in the 18th century. And it's really hard to – I think people have a difficult time grasping that – you're identified by your clothing in the 18th century. It sort of said who you were, what you did, you know, where you came from. That's not necessarily true anymore because you can choose to dress any way you want. I mean, and it's really difficult. I mean, 30 years ago or 40 years ago, you could probably tell a European from an American. You can't now just by the way they dress. That's not necessarily true any longer.
Was that true in the 18th century?
Yes, it was true. I think that there were clothing is a cultural marker in the 18th century, and you can pretty much determine. And of course, it can also be, it can also mask who you are, or you could change it and alter it to pretend that you were somebody that you weren't. But yes, I think in the 18th century, it was pretty clear by how you dressed what your aspirations were, what social strata you came from. And what you did for a living.
Mm-hmm. In the story of the Patriot, they were all in 18th century costumes.
Well, they were in Hollywood 18th century. You know, were designed. I mean, there were things about those costumes, specifically John Fry. That particular article of clothing I don't think ever existed in the 18th century. It was sort of... It was modernized, you know, the way that the lapels fell on the coat. It was pretty obvious that was done by a costume designer and not by somebody who actually studied 18th century dress. I mean, some of the things were lovely. Like there's a suit that Thomas Jefferson wears in the tavern scene that's absolutely perfect. But there was some unevenness there. You know, you can tell that it was done in the 50s by their hairstyles, specifically by the way the women dressed. And that's pretty obvious in a lot of films. You know, you can pretty much tell, even period films, you can pretty much tell when they were done,
No, you can pretty much tell.
Well,
I can't tell.
Yeah, a friend of mine once said, if you absolutely want to ruin a period film, take Brenda to the film with you. But you can, you know, you do have a sort of, you can, specifically by the hairstyles, you can probably tell. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if it weren't obvious to you by the clothing styles, the hair always gives it away for some reason.
Why, I wonder?
Because people, you know, are enamored of their hairstyles. I mean, even if you look at photographs of women here, we have that problem today, actually. I mean, because people want to wear their hair down and not up under their caps. But if you look at Colonial Williamsburg, pictures of interpreters in Colonial Williamsburg in the 50s and 60s. It's very obvious from the, you know, the little Jackie Kennedy hairstyle and the little doily that they used to, pinner that they used to put on the top of their heads. You can pretty much date when they were done by the hairstyles.
That's Colonial Williamsburg, past and present this time. Check www.history.org often. We'll post more for you to download and hear.